You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I want to be right up front with you today as we begin this conversation about the Holy Spirit. I promise that I will share with you my small understanding about the Holy Spirit, but I want you to understand that there is a difference between knowing about the Holy Spirit and experiencing the Holy Spirit. These are two different things. We can know all about the Holy Spirit and what the Scriptures say about the Holy Spirit, but experiencing the Holy Spirit is different. Now, some of you may doubt that you've had any experience with the Holy Spirit at all. But when we look at the third article of the Apostles' Creed in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, he says that the work of the Holy Spirit is the work that brings about faith in people's lives. And so even if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Now, I can share with you knowledge about the Holy Spirit, but it is up to the Holy Spirit and you to experience each other. I can't control the Holy Spirit. It's like trying to put wind in a bottle or controlling the wind outside. It's just not possible. But you and I, when we experience the Spirit, know it and feel it and rejoice in it. So today and this week, I hope that every day that you pray for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. And when you pray for the Holy Spirit to come, what you are saying is that you are open to the experience that will come upon you and how God will not only draw you into a closer relationship because of this, but how God might use you as a more effective witness in the world around us. Now, Jesus understood that the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of the disciples would be critical and necessary if they were to live out their lives as disciples. And so 50 days after Passover or the resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to the original 12 disciples there in Jerusalem in the upper room. And suddenly before them they see tongues of flame that kind of dance over everyone's head and the sound of wind rushing through the room. And they begin to speak in tongues. They go out into the community, and the tongues that they speak are different languages, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and all of those other names that we stumble over in the Bible. They can hear the message of Jesus spoken in their own language. And 3,000 people that day came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there seems to be a connection for the disciples then and today between the arrival of the Holy Spirit and baptism. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes for the first time at Jesus' baptism. As Jesus was being baptized by John in the Jordan River, he comes up out of the water, and John notices a dove that comes down and lands on Jesus there in the water. Now, John had already been prepared when he came to the understanding that the one on whom the Holy Spirit would land was going to be the Messiah. And so there was his cousin Jesus. He was standing in the waters of the Jordan River, and the Holy Spirit comes down on him in the form of the dove, and John knows. He knows and comes to believe that Jesus is the one for whom not only he, but all of Israel have been waiting. But otherwise, the baptism of John is for repentance. Literally, the message of John is that you are going away from God. You need to turn around and come back to God. And baptism is going to help you in that process. Baptism was a way for John the Baptist of washing away the dirt so that you might live a new and cleaner life. For the Gentiles, The first recorded experience of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament comes in Acts, the 10th chapter, where Peter comes to preach in the house of Cornelius. And there Cornelius, hearing the story of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, is consumed by the Holy Spirit. And there, right before Peter, he begins to speak in tongues and praise God, and afterwards Peter baptizes him. There seems to be a connection between baptism and the Holy Spirit. Another example comes to us out of Acts, the 18th chapter and the 19th chapter. It's about another Gentile by the name of Apollos. Apollos was an awesome pastor. He was an awesome evangelist. He was a church planter. He was well grounded in the scriptures, and he understood a lot about Jesus. But it was only when Priscilla and Aquila came to him and said, "You know, Apollos, you understand a lot about the message of Jesus, but here are just some things you need to grow an understanding about." And they begin to share it to him. And Apollos takes it to heart. And then he goes to Corinth, and he starts these missions all over the place. Little small groups, house churches of believers that believe in Jesus. And it is in Corinth that Paul encounters him. And now Apollos is doing well on his own. He's starting churches. He's evangelizing people. He's sharing the message of Jesus in a good way. But then Paul says, "You know, you're missing something. You're missing just one small thing." And he says, "I can't quite put my finger on it." And then he looks at Apollos and asks this question: "Whose baptism were you baptized with?" And Apollos says, "Well, I was baptized with John's baptism." And Paul goes, "Oh, that's the problem. That's why you are not fully engaged in this ministry as well as you're doing, Apollos. Something is missing, and what you are missing is the baptism of Jesus." And as John the Baptist put it, "I baptize you with water for the forgiveness of your sins, but one who is coming after I will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." And so Apollos is baptized in the name of Jesus. He receives the Holy Spirit, and Apollos' ministry moves from good to great. Whose baptism were you baptized with? My guess is that you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are the poster children of the Great Commission because somebody faithful has gone before you and baptized you. And when you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit and all of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. To each person, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And what are these manifestations? Well, in the scriptures there seem to be two. There are gifts of the Spirit and fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are kind of like that holiday spirit that I was talking about earlier at the beginning of the service. And in 1 Corinthians it tells us, it gives us a list. There is wisdom and knowledge and faith and healing and miracles. And the ability to prophesy, the ability to tell one spirit apart from another, the ability to speak in different kinds of languages and explain those languages and what they mean. And Paul continues by saying, all the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit, and he gives gifts to each person just as the Spirit decides. And then in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he lists the fruits of the Spirit. These are the ones that we are more familiar with. The work of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself that that last one, this self-control, is a lot more like a holiday Holy Spirit, right? Holiday work instead of an everyday work of the Spirit. Someone once explained to me the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, and it made a lot of sense to me then and still does even today. A gift is something that you have been given, that you have not been a part of, that suddenly it comes upon you. Wisdom, little insights of knowledge, they just pop into your mind. Faith and healing and miracles, all of these things come about not because of your ability and strength, but because of God's work in you. But fruits are different. If you have a fruit tree in your yard, you know that it will go through a number of seasons before it actually bears fruit. It will start out with just a bloom, and then it will mature, and then it takes more time to mature until finally it bears good fruit at the end of the season. So patience, it's not a gift. It's not just something where even if you pray for it, God, give me patience today, that suddenly you're going to have in your possession. But patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It takes time to mature. It takes time to grow. And when you pray for patience, and when you pray for strength, and when you pray for kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, let me tell you what's going to happen. God's going to take you through a whole series of difficult events, hard and challenging times, so that at the end of the day, you will be able to look back at your life and say, God has led me through all of these experiences so that I might be a more patient person, a more loving and kind and joyful and peaceful person. Fruits of the Spirit take time to grow. And I think that's why we get so comfortable with them. That it seems as if it is part of our everyday life. Someday we do better than others. But it's part of our everyday life, a lot like breathing. Did you know actually the word Spirit in Scripture not only means wind, but it means breath? And when you breathe, you've got two steps to it. You inhale and you exhale. And the work of the Holy Spirit is a lot like that. As we inhale, the Holy Spirit lives in us, bringing about those fruits, the gifts of the Spirit in our life. And then when we exhale, we share this gift of the Spirit that God has done and accomplished in us to be witnesses in the world. And it's this constant process. Breathing in and breathing out. Inhale, exhale. The Spirit working in us and then through us. The Spirit working in us and then being shared with others. And we don't even realize it. Just like you and I don't realize when we breathe. How many times, how many breaths have you taken during the sermon today? And only now, when you think about it, do you recognize it. The work of the Spirit is just the same way. You are baptized believers, people of faith. You have been called by the Holy Spirit and sent by the Holy Spirit into the world to share this good news that God has planted in you. And we don't know how, and we don't know how God is going to do it. But we trust that God uses disciples to be witnesses in the world, always has, and always will. May the Lord bless your journey today as you live in these lives and as the Holy Spirit works in you and through you. Amen.